Good evening. You're the first to arrive.
Yes, I figured as much, and I'm just making it by the skin of my teeth, as they say. But I'm here.
Welcome home.
Oh. Uh-oh. Did I disconnect?
What did you disconnect?
No, well, it came on as 13 on my phone, so when I went to the room. Oh, well, we're in unity.
Tana, did you get the email requesting you to continue with the RE?
No, but I haven't had time.
I realize.
Did you send it to me?
I did. I sent it last week, but
then I didn't get it.
Okay. It just this coming week is Vayeshev, and then the next one is Miketz, and Miketz is the last one you had done, you know, as far as you had gotten, so.
Okay, so you want after 11? About Miketz is 10, so you want 11 to a certain number?
Let me take a look and see where we started, because I don't remember.
Let's see, I have the folder here, I think nearby, if I can find it on the floor.
We started with Balak. But I don't know that you'll have all the time, that much time to do all of it.
I don't have hardly any time with what's going on here. Tell me what you absolutely need, and because I haven't done the Hulu Laws for next month. So I was going to try to get to that, and usually I'm 2 months ahead, and I haven't even gotten to that. So.
Understood. There's two more to go in Bereshit, and however long you can go in Shmot. It's really up to you, time-wise, your time-wise.
Okay, you broke up, so I'm not sure what you said.
I said you could go to, there's two more weeks to add for the Book of Bereshit, and then as many as you have time for to add in Shemot.
To Shemot, okay. Just those two? Or go
those
all
two
the way.
Books. I mean, if you had the time, I'd say all the way, but you don't. So it's really up to you. Whatever you have time to do.
Okay, well, I feel like the Hulu Laws have to come first.
Okay.
Also, I need to also tell you that I went to listen to the last Psalms that I missed Friday because we were heading to Lafayette. And it says Psalm 73, but it's not. It's the second half of 72, and I was on that class. So it's not the correct psalm. It's the correct name, but not. The name is okay, but it's the wrong psalm.
I understand. So
okay.
I'll check that. Make sure it gets to the right one.
Okay. I did print what I had sent you on whatever you asked the last time about the REs. So as soon as I have it somewhere under my desk here. you know, the little slot that you have for your legs. So
right.
If I don't understand and I have time, I'll get to you. But I feel like I at least have to do about 2 weeks into the Healy Laws. So
okay.
I'll do that.
That's fine.
Okay. I'll get to what I can, you know. So.
I don't mean to pressure you, so whatever you can do is appreciated.
Yeah, I understand, and I don't, you know, I do what I can when I can, but it's just been getting worse, or not to say worse, it's been getting harder.
I know. There's a lot to do all the time.
Yeah, but I'm beginning to think the enemy's way or the negative system's way to keep us occupied all the time so that we can't get to these things that are so urgent right now with the times. And so I'm trying to stay calm and I'm trying to, that's the kind of thing I think I was telling Brandy. I was used to having plan A, but I always had plan B. But now I need C, B, and E.
Margo, welcome.
Hello. Good to hear your voice, Margo.
She may have muted.
Yes, she could have.
Let me see if she disconnected.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Okay.
So we will start with the Advanced Reincarnation class. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. And when that landing page opens up, scroll down to class number 30. And the actual handout is class 30A. And it's the subdivision of Roots, chapter 31, section 5. And we'll start with Olashem Yehud.
You know what? I have all kinds on that.
I'm sorry?
Did we do that last time? Because I have all kind of notes on it. Let me see if I wrote. No, I said stopped here on December the 1st of 19, and it, which would put us at chapter 31, section 6. But I don't mind repeating because, you know, these were deep.
Yeah, but I know we didn't do this one yet.
Okay, well, I've got it all marked up.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It looks like on the top of the sheet I have that we did on December the 1st, we did 31, section 4, and we did 31, section 5. We did both of them. But like I said, I don't mind redoing, so continue with whatever you like.
Understood. I remember doing section 4, and I thought we had stopped at the end of it. So, but let's go with section 5.
Okay.
And then we'll, if you find that I'm saying similar things and your notes are the same, or, you know, then we can scroll down to section, the next section. I assume it's 6.
Well, Monica may have missed it last week too. You know, she may have missed it that week, so it's not going to hurt, believe me, to repeat it.
Okay. All right. So we'll do section 5 today and see how far we get.
Okay.
And we'll start with the L'Shem Yehud.
Okay.
L'Shem Yehud Kuchabrihu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urhimu Udhilu Udhilu Urhimu L'Akta L'Shem Yudhe Vavhe V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah, Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananeihu. Subdivision of Roots, Chapter 31, Section 5. The idea of the 248 limbs was explained to me in this way. All souls are included in Adam and divide into many roots. All souls are included in Adam and divide into many roots as follows. In the beginning, they divide into the three forefathers, after that into the 12 tribes, and then into the 70 souls. After that, up to the 600,000 small roots, all of which are included in Adam. And I do remember this now, so but we'll continue with this, because as you said, Balka hasn't heard it, unless she had to read. Was able to get to the recording. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto explains that after the original sin, the privilege of starting the nation that would be responsible for the rectification process was up for grabs. There were previous tzaddikim, but only Abraham took full responsibility and accepted this yoke upon himself and his children. We do not call anyone patriarchs except for three: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The founding fathers all operated out of the highest world, Atzilut. Jacob, the culmination of their efforts, is the choice of the patriarchs and completely fix the original sin on the level of Atzilut. In the world of Atzilut, the above paragraph applies. So in the world of Atzilut, which is essentially all of the souls that were in Adam, there were the three forefathers, after that the 12 tribes, then the 70 souls that represent the highest spiritual levels within the children of Israel. And after that, the 600,000 small roots, all of which were in the generation of the desert. The three forefathers fixed or corrected or made the tikkun of the sin of Adam was completed, but only on the level of Atzilut, not on the lower levels. The next step in the rectification process was to draw the efforts of the patriarchs a rung down into the world of Briah. This was the task of Jacob's 12 children, the 12 tribes. The following step was to expand the tikkun of the tribes to the seven lower sephirot of Yetzirah. And this was the job of the 70 souls that the tribal clans branched out into. And I need to comment in our world we only have seven sephirot. Within each of those we will have 10. So we get to 70 nations. But essentially in our world there's only seven lower sephirot. That's the world of Asiyah, that's the world of action. But the same thing applies in the world of Yetzirah, where there are only the seven lower sephirot. Now, there is discussion, and we've been reading it off and on in the writings of the Ari, how in the world of Yetzirah, the upper three, the Gimel Rishonot, of the level applying to the world of Yetzirah is in Bina. And on certain days and certain conditions, those upper three of Yetzirah are transferred down into Yetzirah. And also the three upper three for Malchut, or our world of action, is transferred down to the world of Yetzirah in the frame of the male. And he then transfers that, the female upper three, he transfers it to his wife through the intimacy that they share. But we are also taught that while we are in exile, Zeranjin, which is Yetzirah, is in Dormita, is asleep. And so the upper three of the female is transferred directly to the husband, to the male of in the frame of Malchut. And I don't mean to make this confusing, but I want to put it all into that perspective. So Zeranpin and Malchut, Yetzirah and Asiya, only have seven lower Sephirot. But the upper three is of both the male and the female. Of Zeranpin and Malchut are in the level of Bina, but under certain conditions and certain days, they will be transferred to the male and the female in the frame of Asiya. But what's in Yetzirah is not totally clear because Yetzirah is asleep, is in Dormita. Now, what we said in the earlier in this class, that the world of Atzilut has all of the potential, because the world of Atzilut is representing Adam in a solid, in one context. Adam has his own soul, and then he has the three fathers, and he has the 12 children of Jacob, and then he has the 70 souls that became the Sanhedrin. And then he has 600,000 of the males that became the generation that left Egypt. But those are all in potential. While they did live in the physical world as the people of the earlier generations, they didn't achieve their tikkun. And so they remained in potential, having to be reincarnated a number of times. They may have corrected certain aspects, but it wasn't completed. They may have corrected certain aspects that they had sinned in earlier lifetimes, but they didn't complete the tikkun. So only the three fathers in the world of Atzilut completed their tikkun. When did they complete their tikkun? When they physically lived in the world of action. Bibles of the stories of the Bible. The next paragraph, I'm continuing to read. We're still in a commentary by the translator. The succeeding rung was to draw everything into the lowest of worlds, into Asiya. The 70 exploded into 600,000 souls. Who took this task? They started in Egypt, and by the time they stood at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, they had been perfected. And always remember, while we'll say that there were 600,000 men standing at Mount Sinai, there were an equal number of women, 600,000, and there is an estimate of 2.5 children. So we ultimately were looking at about 3 million people. That's an estimate. It could have been 4 million. It could have been 2.5 million. But there were a lot of people standing at Mount Sinai. A lot of people who traveled in the desert. And if you ever ask the question, where did these children come from, if the souls of the 600,000 were manifested in the world of Asiya as the generation that left Egypt, souls are constantly being, and at least in the biblical times, and probably even now, souls are constantly being released from the negative system, because those souls are the sparks of light that fell from the breaking of the vessels in the world of Tohu. And so those souls, those sparks of light, through the meditations of the children of Israel who are in the physical world, those souls are released by the negative system into the physical world. And so that's how you can have more than 600,000 men and women who left Egypt. The children also left. But they are souls that were still correcting from the mistakes of the earlier generations. And they are also newly released souls from the negative system. I'm continuing to read. The sin of the golden calf disturbed the whole tikkun. The sin of the golden calf disturbed the whole tikkun, the whole correction. The 600,000 come back repeatedly to fix it, little by little in each generation. Since the sin of the golden calf is idol worship, the fixing has to take place around the issue of idol worship. Whenever any individual child of Israel says, I trust Hashem sufficiently that I don't need to be worried about putting bread on my table. Yes, I have to earn a living, but I know that Hashem will provide that. Whenever those individual people are provided with the opportunity to choose the idol of money or to reject the idol of money, to choose the idol of eating or to reject the idol of eating, and many other ideas along those lines. Whenever that happens, that person's tikkun is of that idol worshiping called the sin of the golden calf. That correction takes place. And that correction has been going on for 3,000 years. 3,000 plus. The right shoulder of Adam divides, as said, first into the three forefathers, then into the 12 tribes, and after that into the 70 souls. Each of the 70 small roots is an individual root from the grand roots of Adam. However, there are only 70 small roots in him, and all of them together are the partsuf of a single person. After this, the 70 roots divide up to 600,000 soul sparks, and they are not called roots, but sparks. Each of the 70 small roots of the right shoulder we are discussing has one complete partsuf. And all of the 600,000 sparks of this right shoulder are one large root of Adam called after the name Abel, the son of Adam. It is the same with the left shoulder of Adam. Three forefathers divide into 12 tribes and then into 70 souls, which are called the 70 small roots. These 70 roots also divide into 600,000 sparks, which are not called roots. Each of these 70 roots is a complete partsuf, and all of them are called the root of Cain, the son of Adam. From one of these 70 roots came Rabbi Akiva. Another of the roots was Akavia ben Mechalelel. And a third one was King Hezekiah, as mentioned previously. This root divides into more than 613 sparks, all of which make up one complete partsuf. And from the partsuf of this root comes King Hezekiah, Rabbi Akiva, and Akavia ben Mechalelel. However, King Hezekiah is from the head of the partsuf, and Akiva and Akavia are from the heel of this partsuf. What's not said here, and we need to ask the question, is Akiva and Akavia the left and right heel of the partsuf, or are they both from the one heel, leaving the other heel? But my guess at this point, because I haven't heard it from a teacher, is that each of the two of them represent the right and the left heel of three of the 70 roots. So they represent a full partsuf, but it's in the frame of the heel. And it's being explained by the translator, coming from the head, he is king. That's Hezekiah. Mm-hmm. Akiva, like Jacob, suggests Akev, the heel. And the same thing would be true of Akavia, which has similar letters with different vowels. Jacob comes from the heel and thereby infiltrates and subjugates Esau. The source of all this is found by what God said to the snake. He, man, shall smite you on the head, and you shall smite him on the heel. And his, Jacob's hand, holds on to the heel of Esau as they are born, as the twins arrive in this world. Jacob comes from the heel and thereby infiltrates and subjugates Esau, the snake, on his own territory. Rabbi Akiva continued this dynamic. Therefore, he was born of converts. Just as Jacob's outstanding quality is Torah. And there is a footnote at the bottom that we will read. It empowers to subdue all the negative forces. In the humble opinion of Chaim, who is the son of Rabbi, he is the student of the Ari, Chaim Vital. In the humble opinion of Chaim, based upon what we are now saying and what was said in the previous discussion, we find that this root mentioned is on the level of the heel of the general's shoulder, which is one of the 70 roots of Cain. The head of the heel is Hezekiah, and the head of this heel, the second footnote, that is the heel of the heel, is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akavia. However, in the previous discussion, we explained that the souls included in Adam divide into 613 large roots, and after that into 600,000 small roots. Here we are explaining that it occurs in another way, that there are three forefathers that divide into the 12 tribes, and then 70 souls only. And after that, into the world of Zeranpin or Yetzirah, they become 600,000 small roots. And also, don't get hung up on the idea of the 70 souls, because there's really 72 nations.
I know. I have a question or a comment. I know because Rabbi Akiva was a convert that they wouldn't have given his name as Akiva ben so-and-so. And I'm just wondering if that Akavia ben Mahalel, however you pronounce it, I just wonder if the gematria of that that name would give us a hint as to a right or a left column of the heel. It's just a thought, so I thought I'd raise it now before you got too far into it.
Well, first off, Rabbi Akiva was the grandchildren of converts. He was not a convert himself. So he is known as Akiva ben Yosef because his father was born to a Jewish mother after she converted.
Okay. Well, we know Yosef means God
but
will
the
add
thought that, and the other input. Thought that you had about Akavia and his father may also be true. May actually be correct. I haven't thought about it.
Okay.
I don't remember ever,
you know, other than in the reincarnation class, ever remember hearing his name, Akavia. I mean, I could have forgotten it, but
I'm sure if you go back into your notes, you'll find that his name was Akiva ben Joseph, because I've heard it more than one time in classes.
Okay.
And you're right.
Well,
based on our tradition that when someone converts, they become a son of Sarah and Abraham. He would be known as Akiva ben Yosef. But he's also clear there in those teachings that he is a grandchild of converts.
Okay. And an Akavia was a new character to me, a new character, until, you know, several weeks back when he was mentioned again. He was mentioned before, but he was new to me.
Are you talking about Akavia?
Yes.
Okay. But essentially, the spelling is, you know, they have the same letters. It's coming from the root Akiva.
And I knew Hezekiah, we were used to calling Hezekiah, in our English days. So, you know, that one I understood. But and also who he's the son of, I don't have any memory of that name either. So I'll check my name book and see if it appears there.
I don't remember him being mentioned in any of the prophets, but I do remember him in the Chronicles.
Okay. All right, well, that was just a thought, so I hope I didn't get you off track.
It's an excellent thought, and, you know, I prefer you to interrupt, so that's not a problem. But okay. We will continue now. However, in the previous discussion, we explained that the souls included in Adam divide into the 613 large roots, and after that into the 600,000 small roots. Here we are explaining that it occurs in another way, that there are three forefathers that divide into the 12 tribes, and then those 12 into the 70 souls, or actually 72 souls, and after that into the 600,000 small roots.
May I interrupt you again?
Of course.
Okay, my name book was handy, so I grabbed it, and it looks like Mahalel means praise of God. Now, other names very close to the root, right near it, above it, and after it, have almost an opposite meaning, sickness, making sick, appeasing. So his name itself means praise of God. Which I would think
he achieved his correction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's
really what okay. And that's why the I'm not sure how you arrived at the others being from the same root, but you know, I'd have to look at what names you're translating that way, and I'm sure you're right. I'm not questioning it. I'm just saying.
I already closed the book, and it was, you know, the name before and the name after. The name
I don't know how is the book laid out. If it's alphabetical, it's not talking about the same root.
Well, that may have been a poor choice of words on my part, saying it was the root. I should have said they're so similar. It's almost like names. Looking at a pizza. And then looking at Akivia, you know, and you see the similar consonants.
I understand. You could look at other names with different vowels, the same letters with different vowels, and say they're all coming from the root of the heel. And mm-hmm. that may be true, but we don't really know that we have not heard it from a sage. We have not heard it from a teacher. We have no real source. And, you know, that's why I'm very careful on letting you know when I'm using logic in the analysis to say whatever I'm saying, but it's coming from me and my intuition. It's not something I've heard from a teacher. It's really important to keep that up. Because it's so easy to get off track, you know. I think the perfect example is my opinion. Right now, we always say, and it's throughout the Orthodox world, we say Yud-Ke Vav-Ke. Because we're trying to keep from saying the name Yud-He Vav-He. Except that when we go back 500 years to the writings of the Ari and other sages of that time, they write Yud Dalit Vav Dalit. And I asked myself, why would they have made that change? And I know then that kind of change is going to be coming from the Satan. And what did he do is he fed himself additional energy, because by saying Yud Ke Vav Ke, where you were feeding energy to him as through the letter Kuf that goes below the line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to finish this section today, but let's continue. And that's okay. I want you to continue to bring up the comments that you are bringing.
Well, I also think you brought out some things, I guess I forgot them, this time that I didn't see before. So I'm glad we are doing it again.
Yeah, it's always beneficial to do it the same thing over and over. As we say, mm-hmm. we don't really know anything until we've studied it 101 times. So anyway, this paragraph that I just finished reading, where they're explaining that there's essentially two ways of evaluating soul roots. One is that there's Adam that has the level of Atzilut, and then there are... Adam can be broken down to the three forefathers, and then from the three to the 12 children of Jacob, and from those 12 to the 72 nations, and from those 72 nations to the 600,000. Or it can be gone in a different frame. That the Adam was divided into 613 large roots, of which his three sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth, are three of the large roots, meaning the large parts of his body, the 613 to 48 body parts and 365 sinews that were in Adam. Those broke into the 613, and then directly from the 613 into 600,000 small roots, bypassing the three forefathers and the 12 tribes and the 70 nations. And both of those statements are true. But how can they be true is because when we go to mix our soul parts in our generation and in our own life, we could be mixing a small root in one way of understanding the descent with a small root in another way of understanding the descent. Because, and this is my opinion, but I think it's pretty valid, each part of our body is not necessarily the part of the same original soul if we backtrack up from the 600,000 back up to Adam. I hope that was clear, and if it wasn't, let me know.
When you say it, it's clear. Whether or not it sticks is another thing. But that's okay.
Well,
we keep going. You know,
we do.
Keep going.
Because the real purpose of this is to see how we can apply it in our own life.
Mm-hmm.
How we, if this information becomes, I'm actually going to stop here in the sense because of time, but what I want to get across, and maybe I'll go on, we'll see how long it takes me to do this. This is so important, I lost track of it. I lost my train of thought. So that's a good sign. It's an indication to me how important it is.
You just have a few paragraphs left to this section, so you don't have that much to finish the section.
But I
want to, so it may come back to you.
I want to get across. We still have plenty of time, so.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how to. Oh, I know what I wanted to say and get across. All of this information, the purpose of this information, when we go into meditations, are we connecting to a higher level of consciousness, or are we connecting to a higher level of consciousness within our personal knowledge, within our unconscious? What I'm asking and not really saying is, and giving you an answer. When you go into your meditation, you invite, I'll say, let's say I invited my father into my meditation because I needed to understand why he did something he may have done that I've reacted to, and I didn't understand my reactions, and I need to understand his motivation in order to delve deeper into my reactions. What the answer that I get in that conversation, and I do have a conversation, as we all do, but the answer I'm getting, I have to question, is it a higher level of consciousness where I literally am talking to my father, who's in Zeron Pin, in heaven, even though he's reincarnated or parts of him have reincarnated, those that corrected have the knowledge and they could be giving me the answers that I'm getting in my meditation. Or it could be that I'm just arriving at an answer that follows some form of logic, even if it's not logical to me at the moment, but it's following some form of logic based on what my world capacity is, my world view, my understanding of what I've learned. But in either case, the purpose of learning this material is to provide those answers. Because they're coming from my meditation, which is within my consciousness, or it's within my consciousness at the level of my unconscious, and possibly at the level of a more broader based consciousness, my whole soul root. But there's a lot of discussions in the modern Kabbalists on whether what you're meditating is really within you already. You already know these answers. But you only are able to verbalize them when you have the base of knowledge to be able to verbalize them. And that's the idea that once you've heard an answer, once you've heard a statistic, once you have some comprehension, that comprehension is always available to your unconscious. I'm not sure I was been clear in what I was explaining, but it's a very important point over time that will become clear to you as you ask the question. But I will continue, as Hannah said, there's only a few more paragraphs.
Well, I thought it was a good example that you gave.
Okay.
What happens to the fathers happens to the children. That was the thought that I got as you were explaining it. And then when you said whether or not it went all the way back to your soul root, that's the only reason I'm saying it now.
Right. No, the more you say it, the more you reinforce it.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of doing the same thing with the dream I had. And so I can relate to what your example was, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome. However, in the previous discussion, we explained that the souls... I read that paragraph. Next paragraph. However, if we look closely, we will see that it results in the same conclusion. And you will see how the Tariag, the 613 mitzvot, divide into the 600,000. For the letters Kaf and Resh from Tariag equals 600 and can be rendered Taf Resh Ribui, 60 myriads. The letter Yud hints to the level of the 70 souls because the six extremities correspond to the 60 myriads, as is known, and a myriad is a number that has a value of 1,000. Excuse me, 10,000. So 60 myriads is 600,000. If you add the yud, the 10, to the 60, you arrive at the number 70. And that is the 70 souls, or the letters yud and gimel, which is 13, are the 12 tribes, with one extra that unifies them, because there actually are 13 males that Jacob took as children. And this is how Tariag includes all the parts. The wisdom of Gematria, Kabbalistic numerology, teaches that after the calculation of the value of a word, one extra can always be added. It represents the surrounding energy that encompasses the specific energies of the totality. The idea here is that Tariag, the amount of God-given mitzvot, is a universal concept that encompasses all of the souls, and accordingly all of existence, which is made for the souls. Returning to the topic of Cain and Abel, the two crowns are the crown of Chesed and the crown of Geburah, which are hidden within Abba and Ima. Adam and Eve are Abba and Ima, and so Abel is the crown of Chesed, while Cain is the crown of Geburah. My teacher also organized the soul roots for me in another way. We already explained that a person has a nefesh from Asiyah, a ruach from Yetzirah, a neshama from Briah, a nefesh from the nukva of Atzilut, and a ruach from Zerantin of Atzilut, a neshama from Bina of Atzilut, the soul of the soul called Chaya from Abba of Atzilut, and Yechida from Keter, which is called Arichan Pin of Atzilut. Now that's clear as mud, I know. Every root from the from the roots of the soul has a portion of these levels. However, this is how the division of the soul roots takes place. To begin with, they divide into five roots, Arichanpin, Abba and Ima, Zeranpin and Nukva. These are the parts of Him. When the world was created, these five roots divided into Zehira Ila'a of Adam, which Hanoch later merited. This is the level of Arichanpin. Adam also took the level of Abba and Eva. Adam took the level of Abba, and Eve that of Ima. Abel received Zeranpin, and Cain the Nukva. It would have been preferable that Abel, who is Zeranpin, be born before Cain, who is the Nukva. Therefore, it would have been preferable that Abel, who is Zeranpin, be born before Cain, who is the Nukva. However, when Adam sinned, he caused the intermingling of good and evil, causing a defect, the result of which was Cain being born before Abel. This is explained in Shar Hapsukim, the Gate of Verses, on the verse, "And Adam knew his wife." And you need to look over there. All the rest of the souls in the world that are born from these five roots are in the world of Atzilut. The rest of the souls, however, are born from the five roots of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. For in each world there are five roots. All of them are secondary to the roots of Atzilut. Follow after them and are included in them, in the same way that all the souls of the world are rooted in these five roots. Each root divides into 10 sephirot, resulting in 50 roots in each world. The 50 that are in Atzilut are the root of everything. And these 50 roots divide even further, which we will explain elsewhere. Every root from the roots of the souls include one complete partsuf, composed of 248 limbs and 365 tendons, which incorporate the 613 sparks. Though combined, they are a complete partsuf of one soul with all its parts, a single root. However, specifically, they are 613 sparks, which are Torah scholars. There are also many sparks in every root that are Amharats, ignoramuses, who work in the dwelling places of the world. For every root is like a tree that produces fruit, which are the scholars, and leaves, branches, wood, peels, etc., which are the ignoramuses, the Amharats. Literally, that just means the people of the land. My commentary. This section has explained the hierarchy of souls by name and family relationship. This means that in the worlds of Atzilut, we start with Adam. This world includes all other souls that will ever come into the world. Next, we have Cain and Abel, which are lower than Adam, but so high that we count them at the same level. Thus, we have the three columns, which represent the three patriarchs from the world of Atzilut. Next, in the world of Briah, we have the 12 tribes. Jacob corrected the world of Atzilut and provides the potential to correct the world of Briah through the 12 tribes. Within the 12 tribes, we have the 70 elders, which represent the potential tikkun of the world of Yetzirah. Finally, all other people have the potential to correct, in concert with each other, the world of Asiyah. In our generation, who are the 70 elders, is a question. There are many people who have split and made mistakes that we cannot know or understand. In effect, it is people who, on the outside, are similar to everyone else, while on the inside, they are potentially higher than everyone else. The same is true for the 12 tribes and for the three patriarchs. Here are the three footnotes, or the two footnotes. Number one, Issachar, who is further from this root, that of the Akiva and Akavia, is outstandingly marked in Torah. The tribe of Issachar provided all of the members of the Sanhedrin throughout the centuries. And I'm not sure if it's all or just the majority, but they were significant. And I know in the calculation of the count for the new moon, they followed from the tribe of Issachar. The second footnote, from this lowest of the low heel of the heel dynamic, it ascends to the highest of the high. So Rabbi Akiva ascended to the very original movement of Genesis. Also, the doors of the Azara, the temple courtyard, never closed on such an outstanding individual in Torah and the fear of sin as a kaviyah. That's a teaching from the Talmud. And that is the end of the section. So essentially, we have three different ways of understanding the descent, meaning the way those souls break out into lower souls. And then we're trying to apply the worlds to those levels of souls, and then we're also trying to apply the level of souls to those descent of those souls. But we understand it's extremely confusing. But that doesn't mean that our unconscious cannot sort through it and arrive at something that will be helpful for us to determine our own personal tikkun as we learn more. Are there any questions?
No, I think not now anyway.
I'm sure there will be more questions later on. I still have questions about this, so feel free.
Well, I'm seeing that I can't remember the questions, so I'm going to have to start as I reread a handout or read a handout. I'm going to have to keep a notepad and write, because I have questions as I'm reading, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. So I'm going to start keeping a little tablet on the side of me to write my questions as I go, and where am I getting the question?
It makes sense to me. You should have that tablet right next to your dream quest, your dream notebook. And then when you have time to cook for your husband, it'll even be good.
Oh, well.
But that's why we have at least 300 more years in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to get him well so he'll do his own cooking. That's what I've been working on.
You all understand.
Well, we can laugh.
You all good week.
You too. Hello. Thank you. Bye, Michael.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom. Bye. Thank you, guys. Bye, Brandy. Shalom.
Brandy, I didn't know you were home. Okay, bye-bye.